So Dave is out today, and we have the pleasure of having Tim Walk back with us to preach the message. So let's, if you could help me welcome him today.
Appreciate it. Yeah, this is a good time. Good to see you all. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come back and hang out and talk with you. I don't usually get invited back to places, so this is pretty nice. My name's Tim Walk. I'm a financial advisor. Before that, I'm sorry, your guys' financial advisor, so thank you. That I feel like that's a ministry for what I have, is to help good people live the good life, and so I do that. Before I did that, I was a pastor for 15 years, and my education background is in Bible and theology, and so that's a little bit of my experience. More importantly, I'm Dave's friend, and so that's what created this opportunity for me to hang out with you today. So you're in the middle of a series about the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit interacts in each and every one of our lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, I just want to introduce you to my family. We got a recent picture up there. That's the whole gang. We got two of the boys downstairs are hanging out with y'all today. My wife and my daughter are at a soccer tournament, so my phone might get buzzed a little bit, and I may either be jubilated or throw it, depending on how that their game is going. So that meant this weekend, it was just me solo with the boys. And yeah, I know my wife does a lot of stuff around the house. It's a lot. This is like the easiest thing I've done all weekend, okay? Like, they are exhausting. My gosh. My oldest son, his name is Asher. He's a pretty brilliant kid, so he actually got his IQ sent from the schools, and they're like, hey, we're putting him in advanced everything. The first thing he said was, hey, do you know that guy that broke out of Alcatraz? I'm like, yeah. Son, would love to know context for this. He was like, well, I think I have a higher IQ than him. All right, we Googled it. He does. My son is smarter than a guy who took rubber raincoats, made a raft out of them, inflated it with an accordion, and escaped Alcatraz. Not only that, my son looked all that up at 11 years old, because that's what he's into. So there's a certain point where it's like you want your kids to do well and be smart. And then there's a certain point where you're parenting Batman villains, okay? That's where I'm at, okay? He's already on a watch list, and the government's like, I hope he's on our side. It's exhausting. It is so exhausting being a parent. Like, whether it's a single parent, just parenting, and it's different, okay? I have conversations with my dad where my dad was like, you know, raising you is the easiest thing. Yeah, because you raised me in the 80s. You had to watch a public service announcement at 10 p.m. asking you if you knew where your children were. Like, you didn't. I have more pictures of my kids, Dad, than you ever looked at me. Like, this is apples to oranges comparing parenting, like, now to today. And just to be honest, I'm tired, and I'm sure my wife's tired. I'm sure you're tired. I'm sure there are moments where it's just like, oh, I'm good. There's a lot going on. And again, my dad's just trying to give me advice. Well, you just got to relax after work. I'm like, Dad, you worked an 8-hour job at the post office and came home to your $35,000 home. I would kill for that life, okay? You're an 80s dad. You would drink an old Milwaukee and cut the grass once a week. That's all you did. Like, it's a different time. Your advice is not really that helpful. And I think about that. I think about the different levels of stress that we have. Right? Because most of us are working long hours. Most of us are working hard or mentally taxing or physically taxing jobs. And after that, we go and we're trying to give care to a family or friends in a world that is more challenging with more surprises than anything we've seen before. We live through once-in-a-lifetime events multiple times. Like, every other week is this once-in-a-lifetime situation. It's like, here we are again. And in that, I think, and maybe I'm just going to speak for myself, okay? I want more. I want more energy. Like, that's, I constantly look that up. If there's a Facebook ad, it was like, increase your productivity. I'm like, okay, what do I have to do? Here's my email address. If there is information about how I could be more productive, how I could be more energized, how I could give more to my family, I'm going to look for that information. I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think I'm the only one looking for more in this life, in the type of life that we're living now. I think all of us are looking for more energy, more rest, more peace, right? If we have more peace, we push out anxiety. We have more mental clarity if we have more peace. Maybe we're looking for more relational intimacy. That's like, man, I wish I could connect with my kids. I wish I could connect with my spouse. I wish I was able to be better at communicating what's going on at work in a way that's helpful to the people around us. We want more. And before I share with you the good news that Christ offers us more, I want to talk about why we all need more, have that feeling that we need more. And the first one is this, we lack, right? We're insufficient. We wouldn't need more patience if we were impatient, like if we're not impatient, right? We wouldn't need to be more kind if we internally was not that mean. We like have these things inside of us. And there's actually a lie going on in our world today. It's like, yeah, you know what? You have everything you need inside of you. You just got to believe, pull those things out inside of you. And everyone knows that's not true. Because we're having this conversation around our own lack, around our own inabilities, around our own inefficiencies. If there's something out there that we could offer that would give you more kindness, more patience, more focus, more energy, more clarity, we would all take that. Why? Because we lack. We all have moments where we wonder if we're good enough, if we have what it takes. Why? Because we're coming up short sometimes. We're coming up short. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that sits and looks at a very simple chore? And I'm just like, I'll look at the dishes and I'm like, not tonight. It's the simplest thing. But at some point, I will come up short. I will lack. I will lack the ability to do something very simple. I'll lack the ability to engage in my kids the way that they really need it. I don't have that energy sometimes. I don't have that focus sometimes. I don't have that compassion sometimes. I don't have that empathy sometimes. And I know that those are moments that our kids will look back and say, those are important moments. And I still struggle to meet them in those moments. Why? Because I lack. I'm not perfect. I am missing something. And I don't think I'm the only one in a room with that situation, with that scenario. I think we're all coming up short, and the stress in our life is us hitting our limits over and over and over again and coming up short. So that's one reason all of us wants more. Here's the other reason. The other reason all of us wants more is because life is hard and life is unfair and life is cruel. Man, where did we get this guy? He is bringing us happy news today. Now, think about this. Because haven't you done everything right before? Like you're like, you know, I know I'm tired. I'm going to push through. I'm going to do those sort of things. I'm going to be relationally vulnerable. I'm going to, you know, believe the best in that person. I'm going to forgive them. And you do all the right things, and it still falls apart on you. Just me? All right, cool. Well, we've been there, right? Like where the math didn't work out. You knew if you did this, and you did this, and you did this, good things will happen. And then after you do all those things, the bottom fell out. And it didn't work the way you planned. And everyone else was surprised. I'm like, I can't believe it didn't happen like that. You know, again, maybe I'm the only one in this room because I was in that spot. Before I grew up in Central Ohio my entire life, moved and worked in Atlanta. I worked at a large church, about 10 to 13,000 members. We had our own parking garage as a church. I was in charge of just the high school ministry. The high school ministry would have 250 to 300 kids every single Sunday in a variety of services. I was in charge of all that. I was in charge of my own staff. I had about four or five full-time staff members, a six-figure budget to work with this amazing church. I had all the tools, all the education, all the resources, the drive and the motivation to launch a church. And we actually did it very similar to this model, where the idea was we would run businesses that would actually support the church financially so we could do more in a community. So I had the right training. I had the right pedigree. I had the right motives. Like, I'm doing this for God. It's not like, it was not like, I'll be famous if I do this. I was like, no, I'm doing this for the Lord. And amidst of all those things, life is cruel. Life is hard. Sometimes it doesn't work out. As our church was ready to expand, we had so many people filling our doors, we had to go to multiple services. As we were planning that, we were planning on launching a second service for Easter. Because it's just like, we have too many people here, that God's doing some awesome things. Let's look at launching two services for Easter. We actually never had that Easter service, because that was March of 2020 when we were planning it. Life is cruel. Life will yank the carpet right out underneath you. It happens sometimes. In the midst of that, in the midst of our own lacking, we want more. In the midst of doing everything in our own power, everything that we're supposed to do, we will still fall short sometimes where we need more. So I know I spent my introduction depressing you. I have good news. God knows. God's completely aware of this. God's not surprised when you lose your temper. God's not aghast when all of your good plans falls apart. God's not taken back when you forgive that person one more time and he turned around and do the exact same thing to you again, hurting you again. God knows, God loves you, and God has actually resourced us for that. And that's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. I want us to look into a few scriptures. Jump in here. Acts 1:7-8, something we probably talked about here. Jesus replied, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power. While Jesus is comforting his disciples, he's getting ready to leave the scene. He is saying, don't worry about the future. It will happen. In the meantime, you will receive power. Why do we need power? Why? Because we lack. We come up short. We also need power because life is cruel. And the mountains that come in our way are often too high for us to scale. God knows that. In the midst of God knowing that, he takes action and he gives us power through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be able to achieve impossible things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. That ability to do more than you possibly can. That ability to listen and fully engage with your kids when you are mentally and emotionally exhausted and emptied out. You will receive power for those moments. You will receive power to have wisdom in the midst of handling a situation that you've never experienced before. You have no context for it. There's no reason that you shouldn't fail in this situation. But you don't have to, because you could receive power and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Here's the other passage I want us to look at, 1 Timothy 1:6-7. And this is Paul talking to his young apprentice, Timothy. He says this, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you." And now, and for context, laid hands on this, not laid hands on this. Got to be clear sometimes. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Man, I want more of that. I'll take all three, right? I'll take power to finish a long day and still give my wife the attention she needs and deserves. I'll take that power. I'll take that ability to have a sound mind when all the stress of life is confusing. I don't know where to look or think next. And so a lot of times I will numb myself by just scrolling on my phone, ignoring my reality. I could use a sound mind in those moments. I want that power. I want that self-discipline. And it's amazing because I've looked in so many different places to find self-discipline. It's amazing. So I looked at these like biohacks, and it's like, wow, okay, a cold shower will be able to release dopamine that lasts for like 6 hours. All right, I'll take cold showers. I'll do those sort of things. I'll do whatever, like anything about a morning routine. It's like, okay, I need to do this. I need to expose myself to sunlight so, you know, I'd be more awake in a day. I need to get my 8 hours of sleep. I need to do all these things to have more self-discipline in my life. But at the end of the day, we have this resource that I guarantee you, you and I are not tapping into till its fullest potential. And that is power. The power of the Holy Spirit. I have a friend of mine, a work colleague. He has a Tesla. And don't know if you've ever ridden in a Tesla, but I got to hang out with him. We were riding in his Tesla. And he said, "Hey, you need to adjust the head seat. The headrest, the seat back headrest." I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Boom." I was like, "Wow, that thing has incredible power." Like it's not even driving, because when you're driving, you do math. You're like, "Okay, if I accelerate this pace, I'll be able to cut over and get in this lane." Not with the Tesla. It's like, I want to go there. I'm there. It's incredible the torque on these things, the power that comes from it. And what happens if you never charge it? Right? It's a 6,000-pound iPad. It's useless. Yet we have access, according to Scripture, to power, to love, and a sound mind. All those things you and I lack. And yet we're still Googling, how can I have better rest at night? How can I engage with my kids? How, you know, we're texting people. It's like, oh, this situation came up with work, and I don't know what to say to him, and I don't know what to do. Yet there's power. Yet there's power you and I could plug into. So how do we plug into that power? I've been reading through the Old Testament, and one of the things that stick out to me so highly is just over and over again the narrative of David. So much of the Old Testament is taken up with David's story. And one thing that sticks out to me is this. Over and over again throughout Scripture, the Scriptures say of David, David consulted the Lord. And it's not necessarily about spiritual things. It's not necessarily about, you know, God, I want to love you more. How can you help me just be able to focus on you? Those moments happen. It's written in a psalm. And David is in charge of the military of Israel, and he consults the Lord for military strategy. God, when should we invade? When should we pull back and be in defense? He consults the Lord on political interactions. God, what should I do about my son? He wants to be king. We have these stressors in our life. He asks God about relational issues. He asks God about all these different things. David consulted the Lord over and over again. Why are we even surprised that David had a life that is superhuman? What happened? David was connected to that power over and over again. David constantly plugged himself into that power. And as a result of that, had supernatural wisdom. As a result of that, had supernatural self-discipline. As a result of that, had intimacy with God in a way that we open up and read the psalm and we're blown away by what kind of intimacy he had. And again, what do most of us do? Hey, you know, we talk to our knucklehead friends that's gone through the same exact situation that we are. I'm talking to my dad, who's never experienced what it's like to live the life that I'm currently living now. And we wonder why we're coming up short. We're Googling these things, which is just getting sent out to other people who own websites that are struggling with the exact same things. We're not connected to that power. So we need to consult the Lord. Why is the power of the Holy Spirit limited in my life? It's because I do not consult the Lord as often as I should. As often as I should. I had a big career decision. There were some opportunities coming up with my practice. And I was praying. I wasn't praying about it. I'll be fully honest. I was asking really smart people about it. Because there's a guy I really admire. Like, he is crushing it in his space. He's the top 30 advisors in the country, okay? And so I built up a relationship with him. There's favor with him. And I was setting up a call. I was scheduling a call to, like, hey, walk me through this decision. Help me understand the pros and cons. And I realized, I was like, you know what? I bet God knows about this situation more than he does. Yeah, he's an expert. Yeah, he's gone through some of this stuff, but he's not gone through it in my shoes. And he doesn't understand God's will in my life. It's not like God gossips all the time. So, like, why am I asking him instead of consulting the Lord? Instead of asking God, God, I just need your wisdom here. I just need your plan. I just need your help in this. Why am I doing these things without God? Why are you and I living our lives without God? And being surprised when we see our own human shortcomings. Being surprised when we snap at our kids. Being surprised when we make the wrong choice. Being surprised when we're flabbergasted and we have unforgiveness in our life. So that's one thing. We need to consult the Lord. Here's the other thing. We need to recognize that the Holy Spirit and a power that we have access to is not a tool. It's an actual relationship with God. So many times we're looking for hacks, right? We're looking, okay, I need to do a cold shower. I need to have sunlight in the morning. I need to eat this many calories. I need to say these things when I'm in a negotiation. But at the end of the day, we have access to this power that supersedes and overrides all that stuff. But that's not a hack. That's not a tool. It's a relationship. And there's actually an incredible scripture that speaks to the context of that relationship. It says this, Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. To be fair, I wish that scripture wasn't in there. I have so many ideas of unwholesome talk, and it's hilarious, people. It is so funny. But it's in there, so I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me in this space. But only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not put a break between you and God. This is a relationship. I know sometimes my prayer life sounds more like a Google search than an interaction to a relationship. God, I'm struggling with this, so I need your help right now. How does that work in any of your other relationships? Babe, I'm tired and I'm hungry, and I could use that right now. Right? That doesn't work in any other relationship, yet that's how sometimes we interact with God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Understand that this is part of our relating to God. To access the power of the Holy Spirit, we need a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know why some of us are not hearing anything new from the Holy Spirit? It's because we haven't listened to what the Holy Spirit has already said to us in our lives. Right? God, I just need wisdom in this area of your life. Well, have you dealt with that sin issue I brought up 6 months ago? No. How is this going to work? How is this going to be a relationship then? Does that work in any other area of your life? Hey, boss, I think I'm ready for that new promotion. Well, have you done your job? Nope. How's that going to work? Yet we do that with God. We do that with the Holy Spirit. There are things you and I know we need to tackle and we need to deal with. That may be why the Holy Spirit's not saying anything new, is because we haven't opened up his last text. We haven't responded to that last thing he told us. So this is what I want us to do. I want this to not be like, hey, let's hear Tim talk. I want this to be an opportunity when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We actually engage the Holy Spirit. So I want to bring the band back. I'm assuming you're kind of thinking the same thing. I think that second song is going to be perfect for what we want to talk about today. But this is what I want us to do. I want us to engage the Holy Spirit. Because maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that lacks. Maybe I'm the only one that loses patience with my kids. Maybe I'm the only one that gets so overwhelmed with all the things that's going on sometimes, I can't even move. Maybe I'm the only one that's feeling that stress. But I don't think I am. I need more. Because Tim is not good enough. Tim is not getting the job done. So I need less Tim and more God. I need the Holy Spirit to come in and absolutely transform every area of my life, transform my thinking. Even when we talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the results of the Holy Spirit in our life, aren't those things that we all want? Don't we want more love, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control? Don't we want those things in our life? The good news is we could ask for them. The other side of that coin is the Holy Spirit's probably given us two or three things that we know we need to do and we just haven't done it. And that's okay too, because there's grace. But alongside that grace is the power to change. This is why I'm not a pastor anymore. I don't know if I ever shared this publicly. This is why I'm not a pastor anymore. And I think I had this conversation with Pastor Dave. I told Pastor Dave, you know what I don't like about being a pastor? I'm a professional back rubber. What do you mean by that? Every Sunday, people come in with the same junk they had last week. You know what I'm doing? Are you going to do anything about that? Nope. Okay. Can't wait to do this 51 more times this year. You know what we both lacked in that interaction is the power of the Holy Spirit. There are dead churches in America. You know what they lack? Power of the Holy Spirit. I went to school for theology, and there's an entire course called pneumatology, study of the Holy Spirit. My favorite part of that course is they had a textbook like that, and it was written by Catholics on the Holy Spirit. I know, right? And it was purely based on observations from Scripture. Hey, we don't have a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're not saying like there, you know, this is not a hill that we're going to die on theologically. We're just saying when we read the Scriptures, we see these things about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that they see over and over, every time the Holy Spirit is alive, active, and involved, is new life. They see life. Our first interaction with the Holy Spirit in Scripture is life. There is chaos, and a spirit moved over in the midst of the deep. There's life that happens. Come on, there's areas in my life that I need resurrected. Maybe that's true for you. Maybe there's a passion point that used to be important to you. Coming home on time to be with your family, that used to be important to you. Some of the people in your life, the friendships that you cared about, like that used to be important to you. And we get so caught up in all the things that we need to do in life that all those things are pushed aside. Guess what happens when the Holy Spirit enters and is active in your life? Life begins to happen. Those things are regenerated. Those things are renewed. So this is what I want us to do. I want to pray. No one's going to pray for you. This is your time with God. You're here today. We might as well have this time with God. So why don't you stand up if you physically can. I want to pray for you. And I don't think I have to pray about those couple things that I don't think I need to pray for a revelation of what you lack. You know. There's some areas that we need. But also, I want to pray for the regeneration. That thing that the Holy Spirit always happens to do. That the Holy Spirit always happens to bring life into our life. Into any area the Holy Spirit goes into, He can't help but bring life into. So that's what I want to pray for. I want to have the band play a song. And in the midst of that, just let's be concentrated on the Holy Spirit. God, come into our life. Come and renew those things. Bring life into those places. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this church. I thank you, God, for what's happening in this place. I thank you, God, that there is life in this place. Things are getting restored. Things are getting renewed, God. And we all run into walls sometimes. We all run into tough things and moments where we realize we come up short. God, I pray in those moments that we look to you. We access your power, God. We plug into what you have, that as we abide in you, you abide in us. God, I just pray right now, the Holy Spirit, move. Move in this place. Move in our hearts. Move in those creases and places of brokenness. Areas that are dead. Bring new life, God. Restore. Restore us, God. Bring life in Jesus' name.
God, we know you have so much more. We're looking to a new horizon. We're praying for your rain to pour and overflow.